Satnam, and welcome everybody. Let's see here. Looking at my calendar. Yeah, January 21st, 2014. A 3-day, a happy, positive mind, uplifting day of creativity, a day to focus on what we want to create. And we have so much excitement with the moving into Aquarius, the sign of Aquarius. This is the age of Aquarius, right? I remember from here. So it's just very happy, uplifting Aquarian energy. And our master, I'm getting some background noises. Could somebody mute out? It sounds like snow shovel. We can come back in if you want to talk. Thank you. He's welcome to talk to. We'll talk at the end, but thank you. And I'm still hearing snow shoveling sounds. Somebody else? Okay. Thank you. Okay, so what what I hear are, I just feel our master with us, and what I'm seeing is he's saying, he's laughing and having fun. He's saying, I'm here with my band of angels. He's just enjoying the celestial realms and being able to be everywhere at once. And what I'm seeing is like a sweep of energy, like when you see a sunset and it's all pink and beautiful and there's like sweeping clouds. I'm seeing that basically with the, tuning into our frequencies, they're kind of sweeping, they're clearing the atmosphere of. What I hear him saying is, with our good heart energy, they're clearing the whole area, the whole planet. They're putting putting a lot of negativity from the whole planet to make an opening or a portal for these new frequencies to come in. And they're saying we're about to reach critical mass, where we're actually start seeing more on a wide scale, the good energies coming through and the old guard coming down. So he's smiling and saying, we will see that our hearts will become lighter and are becoming lighter. And right now he is showing us that he is beaming beautiful frequencies, connecting with our heart chakras, to uplift our hearts and expand the feeling of the power of the heart. So it's kind of to move into the phrase that's often used, the power of love rather than the love of power. So he's saying that's part of what they're working with today. So we can actually feel in our own beings more deeply and in relationship to moving through life on the planet and all dimensions. We can have more of a visceral feeling in our own bodies, the power of love. So that's what I feel him helping us calibrate to our heart frequency, to the galactic realms, interdimensional realms. So I'm feeling that myself. I feel actually a little lightheaded. So he's saying just during this call, just breathe into your heart and then allow that to flow down your legs, I call it our roots, into the mother, the crystalline frequency, the core of Gaia, and back up through your third eye. So the direction is expanding up from your heart down into, so to speak, into Gaia through your legs and feet, then back up through your heart, through our hearts, into the third eye and up our crown chakra. There, because he's wanting us to, during this process, also energize the crystalline field, the crystalline frequency field of Gaia. Okay, good. Okay, he's saying now we've got the calibration. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about how the planets are beaming us beautiful codes, planetary codes, what codes we're getting now to work with, also called astrology. Live. This is astrology live, or astrology made alive. Yeah, so as we were talking about a minute ago, we do have Aquarius, the water bearer. But it's also the symbol for Aquarius. People call it the water bearer, but it's electric. It's electrical. It's the light. It's the light that's being poured through the field. So during this time, starting today, we're getting the electrical charges, the high frequencies. Like when we think about lightning, remember we were talking about that image of lightning last week. But when we get those charges, those surges coming through us. So this is a time with Aquarius, we're going to be getting a lot of like surges. So Yogi Bhajan saying, as we deep breathe and meditate, that we can pull in those electrical surges, that lightning frequencies, whenever we need them. So if there's something, you know, outside of us that we see that we feel needs a little jolt to get going, some stuck energy for people to get into their hearts, or we can use it at any time. He's saying use these surges because this is the time period where they're really available to break up old patterns. Or if there's something in ourselves that we really want to move through more quickly, if we have noticed some patterns coming up in ourselves, that we can use these lightning electrical surges to move through our own patterns also. Beautiful. Good. So the Aquarius codes that were frequencies that we have access to at this time. And I think somebody else just came on. I'm hearing. Thank you. So the Aquarius is I know. And it's a sixth air sign astrologically. And which means that we can actually focus on or fix on these electrical frequencies and use them to get fixed or to get out of fixes. So we can play around with that word, fixed air. We can use these bolts of electricity to get out of fixes or places where we're too fixed. So fixed air. Use it for a fix, Yogi Bhajan is telling us. It's a catalyst, a time of catalyst. It has to do with changing things, making things better, inventing new ways. You know, we think of like Thomas Edison and people like that were Aquarians. It has to do with really moving into our own unique identity and claiming our own uniqueness and also claiming our knowledge, moving into bigger awareness. And it's the 11th house of community, so it has to do with the humanitarian sign, serving the world. So it's a beautiful, beautiful time to move into that expanded consciousness. And Aquarius is the 11th house, so if you're on the zodiac wheel, there's different houses, starting with Aries, and then there's 12 houses. So this has to do with relationship with community, with the bigger relationships. It's not marriage or individual, like Aries is a relationship with yourself, and then it moves on around, but this is relationship with the group or with the world. So it's a good time to have goals about having to do with creating community, like Linda is with her house, and Arik, and creating like spaces for community to come together. That's a perfect goal for Aquarius, and it has to do with connecting with soul groups, so the groups of us that are together to create a certain frequency or birth a certain energy onto the planet. This is a great time to coalesce with soul groups, work with your soul group, and to really join together for a common purpose. And the saying for the 11th house is birds of a feather. And my nickname, making myself vulnerable here, is Bird Woman. I like to fly about and be light. So, yeah. So that's the 11th house. And then the ruler of Aquarius, is Uranus. The ruler of Aquarius, the planet, is Uranus. So what does that have to do with? Again, Uranus has to do with our individuality in relationship to external authority. Eccentric, you can think of it as kind of like bringing out our our eccentricity, our sort of like crazy sides. It's kind of like when you think about the images of like the enlightened people that seem really crazy to the townspeople. You know, when you think about like people that were totally misunderstood in their time. I mean, even people like Van Gogh, all these famous artists like that, they were totally frustrated and not really ahead of their time. So that's a kind of a Uranus sort of personality. So this is what we get to experience in ourselves. So, you know, however you want to experience your gifts, it can seem weird to others, but we're claiming them and we love it. We embrace our eccentricities. And Uranus is the awakener. It awakens us to those parts within ourselves that maybe have been conditioned out by the culture or by society. And it awakens our brilliance. And it awakens our genius in relationship to the higher mind or connection with the unknown or with our master. So this is a beautiful sign to really breathe into our connection with our master teacher, Yogi Bhajan, and really be present to the gifts that he wants to help us awaken in ourselves, and that these planets, the planet of Uranus is helping us to awaken at this time. So that's kind of some of the energies that we're working with. And also remembering that Uranus is the planet of sudden changes, how lightning strikes suddenly, a storm can just come up. So if you have an opportunity, if something seems to change suddenly for you, you can go with it. This is a time where we can let go quickly of the past. So, you know, like Capricorn or different earth signs, they tend to, you know, really maybe overanalyze or feel stuck in patterns. Well, this is a moment where if something needs to change, it can just change. We don't need to hold on. So there's all kinds of electrical energy in the air at this time that we can really, really enjoy letting go quickly. And it has to do with leading to the feeling of exaltation. So it's kind of like when we really let go of something that's been burdening us for a long time, we feel really exalted. So this is a time period of exaltation. So that would be kind of a good word to, you know, write on your bathroom mirror or something. Exaltation. And to really feel that release about becoming so light that we can fly like a bird. Our flock of birds can fly. So moving with those flashes, the flashes of inspiration, owning your genius, the flash of genius, and then how to work with that within the collective, giving to humanity, being part of a group, those kinds of things. And it's also, this is an important part, has to do with ushering in a new position for women in the world. So this moment is really about the breakup of the patriarchy, more of a crumbling. It's been happening, but there's going to be some acceleration. So watch for some key positions like the Vatican, the Queen, that have been the queen kingpins of the patriarchy for the whole planet starting to crumble, how they're moving, how that power over the dominator culture is being broken up, especially this month. So that's a good thing to watch for. And also just it has to do with the health concerns. Aquarius has to do with the flow, the blood. So keep moving, even though there's snow. Take a walk in the snow, and I'm sure everybody here on this call is, but keep your blood moving. That's a little Aquarian health ideas. Good. Okay, wow. Let's see if there's anything else. Well, we still have some Pluto influences, transformation, but as I said, this can be quick transformation. We don't need to years of psychotherapy, just let it go. Removing old structures and forms. And still a lot of Capricorn influence, but that's external authority. So with this Aquarian energy, as I said, those are going to be quickly crumbling away. Yay. Okay, good. Yes. Thank you. Yogi-Bhajan, you know, nodding his head. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling some stirrings in my heart chakra, and I'm feeling that, yeah, okay, the heart energy has to, obviously, is pumping blood throughout the whole body. So, yeah, I think after this call, I'm going to take a nice walk on the beach, even though it's a little overcast. Okay, beautiful. So we started talking a little bit more last week about Guru Nanak, which is such a good example, the first Sikh guru, about initiating the new energies, the new mindset, the new paradigm. Of course, he started in the 1400s to 1500s, but he's such a good anchor for that breakthrough, for that fearlessness. He just was totally absorbed in the divine and was fearless in his mission. So one of the places that he visited in his walks around India, his travels, and that was all on foot. He didn't get on a plane and fly to Hawaii. Like we get to do, fly someplace else. So he had, you know, a mission where he, I think it was 12 years that he just walked with Mardana, his childhood friend, who was a Muslim, and they just walked, and the way they delivered their message was through singing, through music. So it was very non-confrontational. But on one of his journeys, I thought it would be interesting just to share a little bit of one of his journeys, because it really represents kind of the Aquarian spirit. And he was really about paradigm busting. So he went to Mount Kailash, where all the sadhus and the yogis went to escape the horrors of the world so they could become enlightened. They didn't want to be, you know... To become enlightened, you had to leave the city, leave your comforts of your home, leave your family, because that was all considered Maya. That was all considered a distraction. And it was a very strong belief that you could not become enlightened as long as you stayed in that Maya, in that environment. So Guru Nanak went to the place where all the sadhus were living. And when he appeared there on the mountain with the sadhus, the siddhas, the yogis, the residents there were totally shocked. You know, what are you doing here? And the siddha said to Guru Nanak, which power has brought you up to the sacred mountain? Who do you worship? And they were like, what are you doing here? And Guru Nanak says, I worship the one eternal creator, the Ekankar, the source of all power. And they're very curious. The siddhas are saying, what is your name? And Guru Nanak says, Nanak is my name. I should add something. Nanak is my name. Ekankar is my name. And the siddhas are saying to him, you are not a siddha, nor do you look like a sadhu, a renunciate. You seem to be a family man. Of course, that was just would not do to be a family man. If you are hoping to attain salvation by coming to this sacred mountain, then you have chosen a wrong path. Oh my gosh. The Master Guru Nanak says, salvation is only possible when one is truly humble. If one thinks highly of oneself, one remains an ego. Where there is ego, there can be no salvation. And then the siddhas realize that this isn't any regular guy, you know. They're like, who is this person? And they suddenly kind of wake up, an Aquarian thing. They awaken an Aquarian moment. The siddhas say, dear Nanak, tell us, what is happening in the world below? Now they're noticing they want to be connected to the world. Wow, that's a huge realization. And Nanak says, truth is the falsehood is darkness. Right now, the world is in darkness. The moon is not visible. Religion has vanished from earth. Evil has become the order of the day. The siddhas are saying, is there no one to stop this evil? And Master Guru Nanak says, the ones who call themselves siddhas are hiding in the mountains. Who then is left to guide the world? And the siddhas say, our disciples are in the world, they go from house to house spreading our teachings. And Nanak says, your disciples themselves are without religion. They only know how to rub ash on their bodies and beg for food. There's no one capable to show the true path to the people. There is no consideration for right or wrong. No one is following their religion faithfully. Everyone is running after greed. The siddhas say, are the rulers not looking after the welfare and rights of their people? And the master says, the rulers have become the source of suffering. Fear has made the people weak and hypocritical. They have become powerless. Their mindset has become that of slaves. The siddhas say, what about the priests? Are they not helping the people? And the master says, the priests enact theoretical performances from mythology. Their disciples play music. Their disciples play music, and the priests dance. It has become quite a show. They go from house to house collecting money and distributing good luck charms for people to wear. Such has become the condition of the priests. And the siddhas say, well, what about the Mughal rulers? Are not the mullahs sensing justice? The master says, the mullahs have become totally corrupt. They take bribes and deny the people their rights. There is no justice left. Love for money has become paramount. And the siddhas say, Nanak, are you a householder or are you in renunciation? It's the big question for Nanak. They pop the question to him. And here's the answer. The master says, define a householder and someone in renunciation. Well, the siddhas say, we consider a family man absorbed in worldly affairs and desires as a householder. Renunciation is one who has left his home and family is detached from worldly matters and longings. The master talks to them and says, in your path, O siddhas, can a family man remain detached from worldly desires? The siddhas say, absolutely not. That's totally impossible. And the master says, your interpretation of householder and a person in renunciation is incorrect. Why don't you tell us the correct meaning? Well, a householder is one who lives in this world with his mind detached from worldly desires. He earns honestly and shares his wealth. A person in renunciation is one who is immersed in the love of the divine and desires nothing else. So whether a person lives with his family or leaves his family, it is of no consequence. Renunciation is detaching the mind from worldly desires and not renouncing family. Therefore, there is no difference between a householder and a person in renunciation. Both can remain detached from worldly desires. Wow, the siddhas are totally in awe. It seems you have not completely understood what I meant. Can a person be a householder and be in renunciation at the same time? And the master tells them, detachment from worldly desires has to be of the mind. It is not necessary for the body to renounce home and family. A householder is considered in renunciation while living with his family. Yes, his mind is detached from worldly desires. So anyway, it goes on, but I just thought that was starting in the early 1500s, and here we are today coming full circle with the rulers coming from greed and money and everything. So I thought that was really beautiful. A beautiful sharing about Guru Nanak and renunciation and what it really is and the purification of the mind. So we will continue today with our beautiful Mool Mantra chant. That is the chant that Guru Nanak gave us, the perfect Aquarian chant. So here we go.
Sakar mor ga juti hai bang mor par ga jab aaj tak jukar tak hai bhi sat nanak aur bhi sat ek kam ka sab naam kar ga mor Akar-mur-ta-ju-ki-te-pam-ur-ta-sa-ja
Thank you. Thank you.
Come into your heart chakra, make a star mandala, and beautiful oxygen-rich blood circulating to all parts of your body, and out to all your bodies, all your 10 bodies, connecting with the infinite, and coming back. Beautiful. Inhale, and exhale, let it go, let it go, let it go. Excellent. Okay. Thank you, everyone. That's a beautiful meditation. Would anybody like to share any thoughts or feelings or anything? Did you like the story about Guru Nanak? Thought it was a good story. Of course.
I really love that story.
Did you like that? I thought there was a lot of similarities to today, right?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking this is just written.
I know, isn't that amazing? That was like in the early 1500s. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Satnam, I also loved that story. It was just so nice to hear a story for some reason. I don't know why.
A cold winter day, huh?
It's like, you know, I'm just like, wow, you know, it just captivates me. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Sharon. Okay, well, what our teachers, again, suggesting for this week is to really feel, he's saying, take lots of walks and feel that your blood circulation. He'll be working with our health. We talked over, just be ready for any, you know, inspiration. Journaling what you feel inspired about is really suggested for this week. And journaling about what you feel are your gifts and your contributions and what you love, that kind of thing. Inspirational journaling for yourself. The little mantra are what is suggested for this week to focus on. So any other comments, questions, thoughts, feelings?
I have it's kind of an odd question. Does anybody ever kind of wake themselves up in the middle of the night chanting without knowing they're doing it?
Some sound current gets in there. I think that's the idea. Thank you, Linda. I love that.
But it's sometimes the mantra just is there, and it's just like, every time I turned over last night, it was no mantra. And I've got about half a dozen different forms or songs of it, and they all kind of come in. It's really funny.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, there's a lot of versions of the Mool Mantra. That's beautiful, yeah. The reason I like the one that Gurdas sings that we chant to is because it's just really easy to follow. But
yeah,
I love all versions of the Mool Mantra. It's easy to chant to.
I love it.
Yeah, beautiful. All right. Oh, yeah. Well, keep warm, everybody. Be electric. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Yeah, our master thanked us. He left kind of when we started chanting. But, I mean, he's always with us, you know, his direct presence, so, on our group. So, again, well, thank you to everybody, and we will be with you in spirit until next week.
Thank you, good again.
Love you all.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.